On the show today, we have another Q's Parting Shots Gem with John Gracie Alney, the retired Vice President of IT from Safe America Credit Union, recounting some of the fantastic fintech highlights throughout his career and so much more. So you got to check it out. So you just, I mean, literally like retired a few days ago or a week ago. So how is that, you know, after an amazing career, so how does it feel to kind of exhale now?
Well, I've still got a little ways to go. I retired the end of July. Because of where I live, I had a 60-mile commute in California traffic. And believe me, I do not miss that whatsoever. So I've kind of told people that I figure I need about 2 months of sitting on the beach to fully decompress and consider kind of where we go from here.
Well, that sounds like a good thing to do, to sit on the beach and decompress. I like that. I could go for that right now.
Yeah, actually, to be honest, I've yet to make it to the beach, but I did spend Saturday afternoon sailing out on Monterey Bay.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Oh my gosh. So let's kind of get down to the meat and potatoes here. So what's the difference between you when you started in this business and to who you are now? What's the biggest difference you've seen?
It sounds a little strange to say, but I think the 40 years or so I've spent in the industry have humanized me.
Oh.
When I was younger, I was a hardcore technocrat. Technology was the be-all and end-all of my life. And people, if I noticed them, it was because in my mind they tended to get in the way. As I've gotten older and hopefully have learned some life lessons, I've come to understand that it is people that are really the most important. The friends you make, the people who help you on your way, and in turn, you know, as you get along in your career, the people that you're able to help.
And so how long was your career in credit unions, and how long were you at Safe America?
I was at Safe America for 11 years. I broke into the credit union industry in 1987 when I went to work for the Galaxy Core system, which at the time was still part of Citicore.
Yep.
And I went through the Fiserv acquisition, so I spent a few years with Fiserv. For 10 years before that, I was in public accounting, designing and selling systems for CPAs.
How amazed are you with the progress technology has made, not only since 1987, but gosh, just in the last, you know, 5 years or so? It's just astounding.
It never ceases to surprise me, you know, just watching the nightly news and seeing what people have come up with. Probably the one technical innovation that over the course of my life made the biggest impression on me actually was the original iPod. The idea that I could take my entire music collection, you know, which at the time was hundreds of old vinyl albums, and convert those to a digital format and put all of that music in this little bitty box that I could carry comfortably in my shirt pocket was just absolutely amazing, even though I had been in technology for years at that point. It was just such a change.
Yeah, I'm still amazed by that as well. How about like just, or even just credit union or fintech, today's fintech? How is that, what's your take on what's happening today?
Well, certainly the biggest impact on fintech, say, in the last 10 years is the proliferation of the smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
When I started at Safe America, I was actually still carrying a flip phone at that point. But the smartphone has not only changed fintech and the financial industry, it's changed the whole world.
Yeah.
I'm using my smartphone now. To be honest, as a phone, I consider it mediocre compared to a real phone. Sound quality and that sort of thing. But as a pocket computer and a instant information resource, where all I have to do is pull it out of my pocket, for sake of argument, go to Google, ask it a question, and I can get any answer to any question at any time,
yeah,
immediately.
Yeah, I mean, that's more of what it is. It's more of a pocket computer more than it is a phone now. So there might have to be a renaming here in the near future. Yeah. But I'm still like really jazzed about remote deposit capture. I just love taking a picture of a check, sending it into my credit union and depositing it that way. That solution has been out for a few years now, but I'm just still over the moon about that one.
Yeah, we've supported RDC for a number of years at Safe America. It's certainly something that I use personally on a regular basis and beats the heck out of driving to the nearest branch.
Yep, indeed. So if you could write a brief description for your job as a kind of a help wanted ad, what skills and experience would you need for it in today's world? Because everything's moving so fast now.
I think that having had some experience on the vendor side is extremely valuable to a credit union CIO.
Mm-hmm.
There are significant differences in perspective between being on the software vendor side versus the credit union side. If you're working for a vendor, you're more likely to be in a environment that fosters futuristic thinking. So if I was a CEO and I was looking to hire a VP IT, that's certainly something I would be looking for. Probably the next biggest skill that I would be looking for is, can this person build the team that they're going to need to take the credit union forward?
Right.
You know, tech is not something you do in a vacuum. You need somebody with the people skills to work with the rest of the executive team, to work with the board, to hire the right people, hire people that will share the vision, that understand the underpinnings of the credit union movement and what credit unions are supposed to be all about. And also you need a team that can work together and that is not afraid to change directions on a dime.
Speaking of technology, there's a call coming in. Sorry about that. So what are you gonna miss most about your job at Safe America or just dealing with fintech in general?
Well, first and foremost, I'm going to miss the people.
Yeah.
I really found a home in the credit union world. You know, these days I tend to play the evil banker, if you will, my online avatar is Snidely Whiplash, the evil banker from the old Dudley Do-Right cartoons.
I love that. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, he was always trying little Nell with the railroad track because he couldn't pay her mortgage that time. But in reality, I am a softy. Credit union people, old school credit union people, understand that what credit unions are all about is the cooperative spirit, and it's people helping people.
Yep, indeed.
That's probably the biggest thing that I'm going to miss. In terms of, you know, projects, I was fortunate enough to be involved in some cutting-edge technology. I was working for the Stanford FCU TechUSO when they rolled out the first internet real-time loan application system that would allow a member to apply for a loan on the internet and get an answer in a few seconds.
Wow.
We beat everybody to market there. At Safe America, probably the biggest win, if you will, was convincing the team and the board to upgrade our core system to Correlation Keystone. I believe we were the 16th credit union to install it and maybe the 18th to actually sign with them. And that just changed the technological capability of the credit union overnight.
So, I mean, it sounds like, you know, Safe America has been on, you know, pardon the 90s term, but on the cutting edge for quite a while now. And so were there any like mentors or anybody that helped you succeed in this area to kind of keep pushing your credit union in a proactive mode like this?
Most of the mentoring really was before I got to Safe America. I mean, by the time I joined them, I was in my mid-50s. But back in the 80s, Dick Grohl, who was a partner at the CPA firm in Beverly Hills where I worked, encouraged me very, very strongly and actually facilitated spinning off their data processing department as a standalone company with me having a partnership interest.
Oh, wow.
In the credit union space, probably my two biggest mentors starting in the late 80s was Warren Marshall, who was CEO at Stanford FCU, which is the first credit union, the first FI in the world to use the internet for monetary transactions going back to the mid-90s. And then following that was Pete Neisler, who headed up the Stanford Tech CUSO, and then moved on to San Mateo Credit Union, and I continued to do work for him at San Mateo.
Okay.
These are people that really encouraged me to not be afraid to try new things and to, if you will, surf the wave.
Yeah. I like that. I like that. And you have to, or else you're going to be left behind.
There, a lot of people have been.
Indeed. Yeah, there are quite a few credit unions these days who are really pushing that proverbial envelope, and it's really cool to see. And that credit unions are, you know, are leading the way in a lot of these areas. And so it sounds like, you know, it sounds like early on in your career, that's the foundation that was set for you, or your mindset, rather, is to really kind of push that envelope. Is that correct?
Definitely. I've always had people encouraging me to live on the cutting edge.
That's the way you got to do it today, it sounds like. So, I mean, having said that, I mean, do you have any advice for future credit union leaders, not only like in a like a CEO position, but in like your position, like an IT position? Do you have any advice for them?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. I know there is an awful lot of hype around tech. You know, at Safe America, we maybe got more of it than most people because we were in a bedroom community for Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
And the potential membership base had exceedingly high expectations of technology. I know when I was on the vendor side, I used to say half jokingly that I don't necessarily need to sell my new widget to you. If I can sell it to the credit union across town, you're going to have to buy it just to maintain the perception that you're keeping up.
Yeah.
And that's something you want to be careful of. While perception can be important, not every new path is going to be, will prove to be a highway. Some of them are going to be dead ends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the interesting things to look at is Apple Pay. I was at a CUNA Technology Council conference the day that Apple Pay was announced. And it was very, very interesting because that afternoon, Paul Fiore of CU Wallet was supposed to basically have the afternoon. And the announcement was made midday. I know everybody who was there spent their lunch hours online buying Apple stock like crazy. But it completely changed the afternoon session, and they had to make all of their changes on the fly.
Yeah.
You know, because you know Apple was perceived as the 800-pound gorilla. What I find interesting, though, is that consumer acceptance has been extremely low.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's face it, it's not often when you go into the market and you're standing there in line that you see people paying with their smartphones. In terms of hard numbers, at Safe America, again, even though we're in a high-tech community, Safe America had combined debit and credit maybe 20,000 cards in their portfolio. I don't believe 100 of those had been enrolled in Apple Pay.
Wow.
So it's something that's getting a lot of hype. It's just not getting a lot of real-world traction. And for a credit union with limited resources, yes, it helps to have the perception that you're on top of technology,
mm-hmm.
but do you really have the resources to pour into a project like that?
Yeah.
You know, the other thing that I would caution them about is being too cautious in the sense that I was at a conference last year, I think it might have been the Correlation Annual Conference, And one of the speakers, keynote speakers, got up in front of the crowd, and he is trying to tell all of the credit union leaders in the audience, do not think that you can compete with Bank of America for technology. Bank of America has a $700 million annual R&D budget. You know, that's bigger than most of your credit unions.
Right.
Well, that unfortunately to me is the wrong way to look at it. Yeah, they've got a lot of money to spend, but if you look at what it takes for them to do R&D, if you work for B of A in technology and you come up with a new brainstorm, let's say you come up with a way to do real-time P2P, you know, that the market hasn't seen yet, to get that built, you're going to have to go through eight committees. You're going to have to get six vice presidents to sign off, just get a budget to start developing. At Safe America, if I came up with a similar idea, generally speaking, I only had one person to convince, and that was the corner office. It was a really big project, and I might have to convince the board if I needed funding over the CEO's spending limit.
Right.
But we were able to get decisions made immediately,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to, you know, B of A requiring years to make a decision. You know, if you will, the difference between a fighter jet and a 747.
Yeah, I was thinking of an oil tanker and a speedboat, but yeah, I think we're on the same page. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, we can move pretty quickly with things like that, and I can totally see the disparity. Totally.
Yeah, I mean, a good example was MAPS Credit Union up in Oregon, which is Marion and Pope Schools. They're the ones who wrote the Sprig app for smartphones, which was a comprehensive banking application. And one of the beauties of it, since it rode the shared branch rails, not only could you put one credit union in it, if you belong to multiple credit unions, as I do, you could link them all together at one time in one application. So I use Sprig to this day to do transfers, say, between my Safe America accounts and my Stanford accounts, all in real time. And again, you know, this was developed by a credit union that at the time was maybe $600 million.
Mm-hmm.
They built it, they marketed it. I believe Co-op now owns it, that they bought it. But again, this was developed by a less than $1 billion credit union with like a 5-person IT shop.
All right, John, to wrap up here, and I know you have lots on your plate. You have beaches to visit, trails to hike, all sorts of stuff on your plate, I'm sure. So I'm going to get you off the hot seat here. So what's the status of the industry today, and where would you like to see it go? And you can approach it from your neck of the woods, the IT perspective.
Right.
So I'd really enjoy listening to your response.
A few thoughts when I look at the future. When I started in 1987, there were somewhere between 15 and 17,000 credit unions in the U.S. I understand the current number is in the 7,000 range. So, you know, we've been seeing consolidation on an ongoing basis. The Great Recession certainly accelerated that for a couple of years.
Yeah.
But just with the technical and the regulatory environment, I really don't expect to see credit unions under $1 billion survive in the long run. To be honest, I'm not sure how some of these small shops keep their doors open today. Obviously, they get waivers from the regulators on a lot of the things I'm used to dealing with. The downside to that is that, unfortunately, and I don't know if it's because a lot of us dinosaurs are starting to move on to the next phase of our life.
Yeah.
But I really see a change in the overall attitude of the industry. I see a lot less of the old people helping people. We are cooperatives. We help each other. And more, we're a boutique bank. I think to a certain extent, social forces in general, it will be interesting if you look at the common media portrayal of millennials, that would tend to indicate that they really should favor the old school credit union cooperative spirit.
Yeah.
So it will be interesting as these young folks mature and take on more senior roles in the movement, if they might not be able to drive a rebirth of the original spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to. From strictly a technical standpoint, probably two things that I would like to see happen. One is we need regulatory oversight of the vendors. During Y2K, there was a federal law passed, the Exam Parity Act, that allowed the regulators to look at vendors just as they look at financial institutions, and basically to ensure that the software being sold was compliant.
Mm-hmm.
That expired after Y2K and was never brought back. So right now, you know, I can build and sell software to financial institutions or to credit unions specifically. I think banking vendors are regulated, but in the credit union space, I can build an app and I can sell it to credit unions. And if they're on their toes, they will ask me for due diligence.
Sure.
But there's no requirement from the regulators that I build a safe system. The other side, and kind of following that, is internet security. That was always one of my biggest struggles at a credit union. You know, you're competing for resources within the credit union. Security can sometimes be seen to be slowing down initiatives from other departments.
Mm-hmm.
We have not yet had a major, if you will, hacking scandal at a U.S. financial institution. We've seen a lot of merchants get hit big time, but we have yet to see a notable financial institution get hit to the point where the institution was at risk.
Yeah.
That's going to happen. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when, until and unless security is taken more seriously.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, yeah. And a number of, I would say 10 out of 10 credit union CEOs that I interview, and I ask them, the proverbial question, hey, what keeps you awake at night? Their number one response is cybersecurity. Almost every one of them. Cybersecurity is our number one concern. So you're right there.
I hear that a lot too. What I unfortunately find when the rubber meets the road is that security ends up being an afterthought.
Mm-hmm.
If an operational division says, no, we can't implement that security feature because it's going to take, for sake of argument, twice as long to do a teller transaction or something, the operational requirements almost always, in my experience, seem to override the security requirements.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why they can't sleep at night, because they know that.
Probably. Probably. Well, John, one more question. I mean, just anything else here to wrap up just on your career and how things have changed and where you want to see it go? Anything else to add here to kind of wrap up?
Yeah, maybe the only thing to kind of throw in is I actually retired back in 2005 when I left the Stanford Tech Q, so that retirement lasted 2 years. I found myself climbing the walls, and the credit union movement specifically just kept calling to me to come back in, so yeah. I ended up at Safe America. When I left Safe America, I jokingly told people I wasn't sure that this one will last 2 months. You know, I'm no longer interested in doing 60-mile commutes and 60-hour weeks, but I think with my experience and my skill set that I have a place in the industry with a seat on a board of directors, with seats on advisory boards, and that's the kind of thing I'm looking to do. I've actually already, in less than 3 weeks, signed one contract with a fintech startup to sit on their board. I've got another one with a verbal agreement that we're dotting I's and crossing T's. And we'll see what else comes my way, because this will allow me to keep my hand in.
Yep.
And if you will, you know, mentor more young people as they come along without committing to 60-hour weeks and 60-mile commutes.
Yeah, that's exhausting in itself right there. So, yeah, I don't blame you. Yeah, it sounds like there's definitely consultancy on your horizon. And, again, yeah, those board seats and advisory group seats as well. So very cool stuff. John, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate you taking time out of your day. And I know you're just kind of you're hanging out and stuff now, but we appreciate it. So it's always good to get a history lesson and then a really clear perspective on the industry and how things have progressed and where they should be going. So appreciate your time, John. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. And down the road, if you're interested in my take on specific subjects, feel free to give me a shout. I've never been shy about sharing my opinions.
Most definitely. We will definitely be calling you back, John. So thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Okay. Take care.
You too. Thank you.